You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. These days we're going through the scripture, and we're in the book of Joshua, moving along at a good clip here, following the storyline here. They had taken the city of Jericho and moved on. And became afraid because someone had taken the accursed thing. Someone had stolen and disobeyed the commandment of Yahuwah, and that they were not supposed to save anything, especially for themselves. And they found the culprit. And Achan answered Joshua in chapter 7 and verse 20. He said, "Indeed, I have sinned against Yahuwah, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them and beheld, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yahuwah. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, the wedge of gold, and the sons and daughters, and his oxen and his ass and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. That's pretty harsh punishment for theft, is it not? And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor to this day, unto this day. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And Yahuwah said to Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and rise up and go to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." And I just have to stop and comment here for a minute that the punishment in the scripture for theft is not stoning to death. Now, the reason that the punishment was so heavy in this instance is because it was a war crime that he committed. He had stolen from God that which he wasn't supposed to take. And he had been warned with all the people that they would be accursed. And of course, the loss was the responsibility of 36 men were on this man for what he did, because they lost those 36 men in their first assault on Ai. And he was responsible for the lives of those 36 men. So he and his family paid with their lives for those lives. It wasn't just an incident of theft, because as we know from the law, that theft was not a capital crime. So that's why the punishment was so harsh in this instance, because it was not just the crime of theft. Under an ordinary circumstance, it was a crime where he put in jeopardy the lives of many. Yes, and 36 men lost their lives because of his disobedience against the direct order and warning of the Creator. So while he was supposed to take that booty, of course, he wasn't supposed to keep the Babylonian garment. That was supposed to be destroyed in the fire. The only thing that they were supposed to take was the silver and the gold and the brass. And of course, they were to bring those things into the treasury of Yahuwah. Those things belonged to the Lord himself, to the Creator himself, to the God of Israel. And so he stole those things. And because of his disobedience, he brought the curse on the army of Israel that God said, if you bring anything, if you touch the accursed thing, and that touching accursed thing, of course, referred to disobedience to the instruction of their chief commander, who of course was Joshua, who of course was Yahuwah himself. So that was the reason for the harsh punishment there. The lives of 36 men. And also, this was a lesson for all the children of Israel, and one that you would hope they would never forget. So let's continue here in chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did to Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof you shall take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So this time the instruction is a little different. They were to take the cattle and the spoil for themselves. And of course that would be all measured out equally, you know, by whatever measure they would measure it out. So Joshua rose and all the people of war go up to Ai against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. For Yahuwah your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of Yahuwah. And you shall you do. See, I've commanded you. And Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lay an ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them to lay an ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the hosts that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all the people at the appointed time before the plain. But he knew not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were with Ai called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua. And when they were drawn away from the city, and there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it to your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it, and hasted to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people fled to the wilderness and turned back upon the pursuers. So So those that they were pursuing turned back on them. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And let me see. Ai. So I guess it's really Ai or Ajath. Well, I guess I don't know. I've got six or eight different pronunciations here for Ai. And it's simply spelled Ai. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with that one. And the other issued out of the city against them so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that. And they smote them and they let none of them remain or escape. So they were completely compassed about, all of the men of the city with Israel on both sides. And they killed every single one of them. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all of the inhabitants of Ai in the field and in the wilderness where they chased them, and when they were fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites turned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants. Only the cattle and the spoil that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of Yahuwah, which commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And many people would like to bring an accusation against the God of the Old Testament for, you know, commanding the children of Israel to go in and utterly destroy these cities, every man, woman, and child. And they bring an accusation. How could a God of love destroy that? And especially the children. Oh, the children. Well, the truth is, He is the giver of life. He can give life. He can take life away. And blessed be His name. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of Yahuwah. And because the truth is, He takes everyone's life. And that's one way of looking at it. But the truth is, He gives everyone life. And I've discussed this often, how that when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit and they received their death sentence, they deserved to die that day. Yes, they did. But their Creator gave them grace, a grace period, that they didn't die that day. Oh, they received a death sentence that day. That much is sure, because He said, "You shall surely die." And every one of us is born with that death sentence. For you see, we all shall surely die. We all are born with that same death sentence. And that is the grace of God, that we live. So who are we who have received the grace of God to bring an accusation against the Creator? He brought Israel's enemies against them. Yes, the other heathen nations, for their disobedience. We saw that 36 were slain for the sin of a man. And perhaps it was more than just the sin of one man, because perhaps someone helped him. And we're not given those details. But that sin was laid on that one man, and his whole family suffered. His wife and his children suffered for that. They suffered death, the punishment for the murder of 36 men who died in battle because of his disobedience. Now, we're nobody to bring an accusation against our Creator. The innocent die all the time. And, you know, these are the ones who would bring the accusation. Well, they're the ones. They're the same ones who murder their own children in the womb. Who are they, you know, to bring an accusation against the Creator, who has a right to give life and who has a right to take it, where they don't have the right to take it and they don't have the power to give it? They have the power to let live, but they murder instead. These are the very ones who would bring an accusation against the Creator Himself. No, Israel was commanded, you know, and there's one way, and that is He rose up heathen kings and the ungodly against his people for their idolatry. That is Israel for their idolatry. And they were the sword of the Lord. They were a sword in his hand. He wielded them whichever way he wanted, regardless of what they thought their purpose was. And they were idolaters. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he was an idolater. He had little regard, even though the Heavenly Father, Creator, had given him a dream and told him all things. And he took that dream. He wasn't satisfied with just the head of gold, the position that he held. He wanted to build the whole image of gold, and he wanted everyone to worship it. See, he was an idolater. And that idolatry, well, tends towards self-worship. I will be my own lawmaker. I will do what I want to do. It's not God's law. It's not the Creator's law. I will decide what I want to do. They create God in their own image. So just to answer the accusation of those that would bring an accusation against the Creator, if he commanded Israel, he has the right to command the absolute destruction of an idolatrous people and punish them and their descendants and their children if it pleases him for their sin. Because the truth is, he's already punished them. We've already all been born with that death sentence. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and wilderness wherein they chased them. And see, they were being obedient. They were afraid to be disobedient. That's right. They had the fear of God in them. And that fear was justified too, because they saw what happened to Achan. Because he disobeyed, they were not going to be quick to disobey again, knowing that if they were caught disobeying, and they surely would be caught, Achan was caught, though he had hidden everything very well. Nobody seemed to know much, or at least nobody was saying anything. They had the fear of God. They were going to do exactly what he said. And if he said, slay every man, woman, and child, and burn everything except for the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the flocks, those you can keep. And then you divide those up as is right. And so that's what they did. They had made an end, and it came to pass, chapter 8, verse 24, and it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and wilderness, wherever they chased them, when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, and all of the men, even all of the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherein he stretched out his spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. For Joshua drew, only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves according to the word of Yahweh which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto Yahuwah, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto Yahuwah, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And basically this is also an indictment against this is the judgment against the inhabitants of the land, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. This is the indictment of their punishment. Much like when Rome crucified men, it would write their indictment on a tablet over their heads when they crucified them. So much in the same way, they wrote the law of God and they planted it in the land, and they removed those people that that were lawbreakers and had no regard for the law of their Creator. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bore the ark of the covenant of Yahuwah, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them. And you'll see that they include as well as the stranger. Now, who is the stranger? As he that was born among them. They allowed foreigners to integrate into the nation of Israel, but they had to become as one of them. It was like, in speaking of foreigners, of course, we had Rahab and her father and her mother and her and whatever kin that she brought in. They became Israelites. They were circumcised. They became as one of them. And they started to follow. They did not bring, I mean, there was no multiculturalism going on here. There is no multiculturalism allowed at all whatsoever. You either integrated into the Hebrew society or you were not in it at all. They did not bring outsiders in. People had to come on their own, and they had to worship the God of Israel. They had to be totally integrated in to the nation Israel. And so that's why they are called the strangers, as he that was born among him. The strangers that dwell among you, they become integrated, holy. They don't bring in their culture and their worship and their religions. No, that would not be allowed at all. That does not work. It won't work here. It certainly couldn't work there. So anyway, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of Yahuwah of the Lord, had commanded them before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And looks like that's where we'll end today with chapter 8. We'll continue in chapter 9 of Joshua next time. Remember, in everything you say and do, also remember there's nothing more important than you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. His is the only kingdom that will never end. Hallelujah.